You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Victory Monday episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch, whether it's from the dome or from the comfort of your own home. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. The New Orleans Saints clinched the first NFL playoff spot of the 2020 season with their 21-16 win at the Atlanta Falcons. Now with nine straight wins and a 10-2 record, how do they pull off Sunday's closer than expected advantage? We'll recap the game and injuries first, then we'll dive into the offensive performance, where Taysom Hill improved, where he remained inconsistent, and how the Saints offense around him held it all together. Then we'll wrap up with a look at the defense, including our breakdown of the defensive line rotation. We'll look to see which player group was most productive on the defensive line, the play of the secondary, and how impressive this defense continues to be. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of the Locked On NFL podcast. We got all of that and a little bit of lanyap on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. The defense does it again, and Taysom Hill throws two touchdowns as the Saints clinch their playoff berth with a 21-16 victory against the Atlanta Falcons that didn't come without suspense. It's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. For Saints fans watching Sunday afternoon's game, Taysom Hill was the highlight, at least for the first half. He threw two touchdowns, his first two career touchdowns, to Tre'Quan Smith, who just continues to make catches that are historic for starting Saints quarterbacks, it seems, and Jared Cook. The first touchdown came with a familiar concept that the team continues to run with Taysom against man coverage, the mesh concept where two receivers start on either side of the field and then run routes that cross the middle of the field to get to the opposite sides, creating conflict. Defenders, Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, whoever it is that's in at quarterback, that concept is always going to be present. And Taysom Hill did a good job reading that and beating man coverage there. The second touchdown, however, came on a double post from the left side against zone coverage, which was a welcome throw and catch to see, because Taysom Hill did a good job progressing well through zone and making the right decision. And it was a play that helped out Jared Cook as he got a chance to redeem himself for an early third down drop that many people were ready to cut him for, or at least are ready to say, hey, that's not going to cut it for you making this team next season. The Saints defense continued to play extremely well throughout the first half, allowing only 152 total yards and two empty trips to the red zone. And New Orleans actually only allowed 9 points in the first quarter, or the first half rather, as well. New Orleans limited Atlanta to three field goals and took a halftime lead of 14-9 into the locker room. But Saints kicker Will Lutz also missed a short field goal that would have helped to provide some additional distance. But either way, you'll take a 5-point lead going into halftime. In that first half, New Orleans had passed for 135 yards, and Taysom Hill had completed 17 of 23 passes, or 74%, if you want to look at it that way, which is pretty good, and also added 133 rushing yards, the team did, including a 43-yard scramble by Taysom Hill and a 37-yard run by Alvin Kamara, who finished the day with 88 rushing yards. So in the first half, we saw a lot of hopeful things from Taysom Hill, beating both man and zone coverages on his touchdown passes, a great command of the offense, moving in and out of the huddle efficiently. But in the second half, things got a little less encouraging as Atlanta did a really good job adjusting and showing new defensive looks in that second half. To open up after halftime, Taysom leads actually a 12-play, 6-minute touchdown drive that ended up and an 11-yard touchdown by Alvin Kamara, who now has two career touchdowns against the Falcons. And while Kamara didn't get involved in the passing game very much with only two catches for 9 yards, he did have a nice day on the ground. However, after that possession, this game became all about defense. New Orleans had forced two punts back-to-back against the Falcons, opening up their second half drives. And then Carl Granderson got into the backfield after Matt Ryan got to him, forced a fumble deep in Atlanta's territory on the Atlanta 15. But the Saints ended up giving the ball back just 5 yards away from scoring distance as this drive came up empty. Second and goal, pressure up the middle, flushed Taysom Hill out to his right. Defenders collapsed on the outside. Hill held on to the ball and eventually tried to throw it away after first contact with one of the defenders, but the ball comes out. He's hit as he throws, ruled a fumble, and the Saints turn the ball back over. Their only turnover of the day, but still a critical one. And while Coach Payton tried to take it, tried to sort of take blame for it based on the play call, yes, he could have run there. It was still pretty much on Taysom Hill for not just taking the sack and playing for third down and at least trying to guarantee your team a field goal, essentially a chip shot just a few yards away. The Falcons would turn that turnover into a touchdown after a long up-tempo drive. And they also got a little bit of help with 25 yards of defensive penalties as well, resulting in a Russell Gage touchdown for 10 yards on a rub route. This is what we talked about last week before this game. The Falcons did a great job turning turnovers into points against the Raiders. Don't turn the ball over if you're the Saints. And the Falcons won't get on the board with touchdowns. They're able to do it here. After that, the Saints couldn't move the ball much, progressing over on the offense, only 21 and 6 yards respectively on their final two drives, resulting in only one first down and two punts. But the Saints' defense was up to the challenge. Despite giving up a couple of chunk plays, yes, the Saints still tightened up with no penalties and forced a turnover on downs on a drive that stalled Atlanta with another empty trip to the red zone. And then on the last drive, forced Matt Ryan to try a Hail Mary pass from the Saints' 39-yard line and did a great job knocking the ball down to secure the victory 21-16. So now New Orleans has stamped their ticket to the postseason no matter what happens for the rest of the way through. However, they will continue to fight to stay atop the NFC as the number one seed. So with their ninth straight win, the Saints now 10-2 atop the NFC as the number one seed and are only one game away from making sure that they completely clinch the NFC South as well. One more win will get them there thanks to the tiebreaker that they hold against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Before we move on and start talking about the future and what the Saints have left this season, we need to continue to break this game down. We will here in just a moment talk a little bit more about Taysom Hill. What did he do well? Where did he not necessarily improve? And what else around him helped to seal this game on the offensive side? And then we'll wrap up the show looking over at the defense. But before we get to any of that, I got to tell you, it has been a busy time here in the Jackson household, not just around the NFL season, but everything else surrounding life. And sometimes it is so much easier to just reach out to my good friends over at DoorDash and ask them to take care of my next meal. And they have the app that's perfect for it because DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open up the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered safely outside your door with new contactless delivery drop-off settings. It's over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia. So you can go ahead and support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national chain restaurants as well, like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. And don't forget that DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to help keep members of the community safe. And right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees for their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON, all one word. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, family, coming up tomorrow on Locked On Saints, we're going through our Analytics Tuesday, breaking down the game, taking a look at what the numbers say about the Saints 21-16 win against the Atlanta Falcons. So that's coming up for you tomorrow. For the rest of today, though, we're breaking it down offense, then defense. Let's start off over on the offensive side. Is it fair to call Taysom Hill's evaluation after three games still incomplete? Yes. Yes, it is. I'm going to tell you why. So when it comes down to what we have seen from Taysom Hill, there are things that you liked seeing in this game, and there are things that you didn't like seeing in this game. And the reason why I say that it's incomplete is because he still has opportunities ahead of him. Even if Drew Brees does come back against the Philadelphia Eagles, which seems to continuously be hinted to as at least a possibility, I think that you're going to see more Taysom Hill getting opportunities to throw the ball. And that's one of the things that I think is going to be really interesting to watch for the future, by the way, is with Taysom Hill getting involved in the Taysom Hill packages in a Drew Brees offense, it's going to be a little bit harder for defenses to understand, oh, Alvin Kamara is on his left hip, he's running the ball, because he can pull up and throw it, because we have now seen him have that confidence. But to get back to sort of the evaluation of him as the heir apparent, which is just kind of unfortunately what he's subject to at the moment, You saw some things that you really liked. We talked about his ability to progress and read through zone defenses against the Falcons on Sunday. That was a very good sign. We also saw him commanding the huddle, getting out of the huddle, getting it up to the line of scrimmage, getting the players set, no delay of game penalties this time around. We saw him try the hard count on a 4th-and-2, I believe it was, before the missed Will Lutz field goal. That didn't quite work, but all of the things that we've sort of seen him, there are a couple of things that we've sort of seen him struggle with that we saw him improve in this game. However, there were things that we didn't see him improve, such as his decision-making, the ability to throw the ball away. We didn't really see him throw the ball away at all when he was in trouble. We did see him make some plays with his legs. Again, he had a big 43-yard run down the sideline on a scramble, but there were just times that his decision-making felt off. I mean, why are you throwing downfield to Tommy Lee Lewis in double coverage? I don't care if that's a linebacker on him. He's not separating. He has a safety over the top. He's not winning a jump ball. There were just some decisions that were made that I think we saw kind of linger from some of the poor decisions that we saw against the Denver Broncos last week as well. And again, how much can you really take away from the Denver Broncos game? Only as many times as he threw the ball. As far as I'm concerned, those are things that you can take away from him. Outside of that, times where he hesitated, he didn't throw the ball, he held on to the ball, he was trying to be a game manager, he was trying to make better decisions and not put the ball in a position to where it could get intercepted or anything like that and trying to be careful with it. I'm not going to evaluate off of that. But the passes that he attempted against the Denver Broncos, you can get a read off of where he struggled, and it was zone defense. Now, we saw him make a nice read against zone defense, getting the ball to Jared Cook in the end zone, who, of course, was working very hard to redeem himself as well. We also saw Taysom Hill spread the ball around a little bit more. 8 different receivers targeted in this game, as opposed to just Michael Thomas, who had a great day, by the way, 9 catches for 105 yards, basically almost a carbon copy of the stat line that he had from the first Atlanta game. But that was really the story around the second half in particular. Taysom Hill played a great first half. In fact, I think he also played a great third quarter, basically up until that fumble. He, of course, had a second fumble later on in the game as well, where he was trying to scramble and create some more opportunity there and trying to run the clock out. He ended up having the fumble forced by, I believe it was AJ Terrell, who punched the ball out, and then luckily the ball went out of bounds. But that's now 2 fumbles, or at least a fumble in each of these starts. We've now seen him fumble the ball multiple times over the season. I believe he's up to 6 or 7 fumbles, depending upon whether or not that first fumble against Atlanta was counted or not. For a little while, it hadn't been counted. So I think that that's still a big time issue. I mean, we are all very concerned about Jameis Winston hitting the field because of the potential invariance that comes with his potential of throwing interceptions. If you're going to put Taysom Hill out there to fumble the ball twice, then you still have to be concerned about that. He's only lost 3, but you're not going to get that lucky every time. You're not going to get lucky enough for that ball to bounce out of bounds. Sometimes that ball is going to just stop right outside the boundary, and somebody's going to be able to scoop that up and take it back the 15, 20 yards or whatever it was that would have been a score. It probably was a little bit longer than that, but still, there's no way that this Saints team feels comfortable with that. Remember, Sean Payton is the guy that benched Mark Ingram for fumbling twice in a game, right? Like, he has another 5,000-yard passer right behind Taysom Hill ready to go as soon as he gets the opportunity in Jameis Winston. I don't think that there's any reason that Taysom Hill is going to get preferential treatment if he continues to fumble, if he gets this next shot against the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to be the big question. Is he going to get that next shot? I don't know. At that moment, is his evaluation, is there enough? There's not going to be enough snaps to make any full evaluation on. No matter what, you're basing an evaluation on Taysom Hill off of less than 100 snaps at quarterback, which is not advantageous, and I think you still want to see more from him. But so far, what he's put on the field, you saw a good game against the Atlanta Falcons. You saw a game in which he struggled in the times in which he passed the ball against the Denver Broncos, and then you saw a tale of two halves against the Atlanta Falcons. So it's either just simply that he's middle of the line and he's going to get you to the playoffs. You know, he can put you in a position to where he's going to win, to where your team can win games, and he's not going to lose you games, which is what we've seen so far, although he came a little bit closer than you would have liked. Not close, but a little bit closer than you would have liked. There are still some things that I want to see from Taysom, like a killer instinct, the ability to put a game away, those types of situations where he had 2 drives to run the clock out at the end of the game, and he wasn't able to lead that drive. Some of that came to the Falcons waking up on run defense as well. So I don't want to put the entire blame on him, but there are just those moments to where you know how important it is to protect the ball. But outside of that, the story around Taysom Hill and outside of, again, really a good first 3 quarters from Taysom was the rest of the offense. The offensive line had some struggles. Andres Pete got beat a couple of times in this one coming back from his concussion. The Saints didn't have Didn't have Teron Armstead, so James Hurst started on the outside. He played very well. Cesar Ruiz didn't really get any snaps in this. Actually, didn't get any snaps in this one because Nick Easton started for him over at the right guard position. This was a pretty good game for the offensive line. They led a rushing attack for over 200 yards for the second week in a row. Alvin Kamara leading the charge in that with 88 yards. Taysom Hill right behind that with 83. You saw a modest day from Latavius Murray this time around, but you know what? He got a lot of work the last 2 weeks. So not mad at him for being able to get a little bit of a day off there. Michael Thomas, Tre'Quan Smith, Emmanuel Sanders, Adam Trautman, and Jared Cook all making important catches in this game. So what you saw was a unit really rise for the New Orleans Saints and show up. And I thought that that was a great thing to see, especially going out there and averaging over 5 yards per carry on the ground. This is exactly what we talked about last week, that the Atlanta Falcons ranking atop the NFL or near the top of the NFL in total rushing yards allowed was a complete mirage because they were also giving up 4.3 yards per carry. It's just that the games were shootouts. And so both of those teams, the Falcons and their opponents, were often throwing the ball. The Saints, for the second time in a row in 3 weeks, end up rushing the ball a ton against a team, going for the fifth week in a row now, over 30 rushing attempts in this game, and it paid off for them big time. Don't worry, we are far from done breaking down this game. We're going to move on to the defense next, but we'll come back to the offense tomorrow as we continue to break things down in our Analytics Tuesday and our Film Watch Friday, of course. But I want to get to the defense, talk a little bit about what they did late in the game, some of the issues that they had, but the way that they were able to overcome some key injuries over on that unit. And then we'll talk about some other injuries around the team as well, update those for you. Got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints are now one game away from being the first NFC South team to sweep the entire NFC South. And if they need a little bit of fuel to do that, they have just one wall remaining. That's the one, week 17 against the Carolina Panthers. Best way to get that fuel is from our friends over at Built Bar, builtbar.com. Best tasting protein bars on the market. They're new, they're improved. They're even deliciouser than they were the first time around. They've got 6 new flavors, 18 amazing flavors all told, as well as the 12 originals that you already know and love, including salted caramel, toffee almond, double chocolate. All of those bars covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. None of that gritty, gross texture. You don't have to put them in the microwave in order to just be able to wolf them down. You can enjoy these bars just like you would a candy bar, but you're doing something great for yourself at the same time, as these bars are low in calories, low in sugar, but high in protein and fiber. Let's talk a little bit about one of the flavors, cookies and cream, which sounds like it should be packed with sugar. Only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs, but 17 grams of protein with only 130 calories. Built Bar has reset their promo code for their relaunch. You can get a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Just go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On. You're going to get 20% off of your next order. That's promo code Locked On for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, Houdat Nation, don't miss the biggest stories from around the NFL on Monday's Locked On NFL podcast. Host Peter Bukowski interviews the local experts on the biggest stories from around the league. Big wins, like how about them New York Giants knocking off the Seattle Seahawks? And then other big stories, including top performances and unexpected developments. Get in-depth analysis and insightful breakdowns from those in the know every Monday over at Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcast. All right, family, let's talk a bit about the Saints defense here, and then we'll talk about some of the injuries, because most of the injuries that the Saints are dealing with right now are actually over on the defensive side. So the defensive performance in this game, a little bit stagnant here, or a little bit stagnated every now and then, because of the fact that there were more defensive penalties in this game than you're accustomed to seeing. Over the past few games, they've been very disciplined over on the defensive side. This is one of those things that happens when you're down to your third string cornerback starting on the outside against really athletic wide receivers. The Saints already came into this game without Janoris Jenkins. Patrick Robinson ended up getting hurt in the, I think it was as early as the first quarter, actually. And then PJ Williams had to come in to get some reps up against Julio Jones. And then that kind of offset the balance of the rest of the secondary, although a couple of players played very well. I'll come back to them. Let me not get stream of consciousness here. Let me stay on my structure. So you had PJ Williams over on the outside defending against Julio Jones. Some folks were wondering, why is PJ Williams on Julio Jones? Well, because you needed Marshon Lattimore on Calvin Ridley. Because the last time you put PJ Williams on Calvin Ridley a couple years ago, Calvin Ridley ripped off over 100 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first, like, 2 quarters and a drive. So you don't want to mess with fate when it comes to that again. But The bottom line is that the Saints defense really didn't do anything to lose you the game. Some folks may look at the 16-point score that the Saints allowed against the Falcons and say, oh, well, the Saints allowed a touchdown in this one. They're on their way back down. But that was also the first touchdown that they've allowed in 42 possessions, which is just insane. They also set a franchise record for most quarters without or between touchdowns allowed as well. Because remember, the Saints didn't allow a touchdown over the past few weeks since the first quarter of the Week 10 game against the San Francisco 49ers. So look, this defense still performed extremely well, particularly situationally. They only allowed one score in the red zone in terms of a touchdown, one out of four possessions, including creating an empty possession at the end of the game, right? And then also holding up for the final possession of the game all told as well with knocking down the Hail Mary there. Marcus Williams played a hell of a game in this one. The Saints defense as a whole, according to Pro Football Focus, only missed a single tackle. Remember all that talk about Kwon Alexander and the amount of tackles he was going to miss, which, yes, he's missed some, but in an important game like this and an opportunity to sew up your spot in the playoffs, pressure with having your backup quarterback in, playing a division rival for the second time in 3 weeks, looking like you're ready to sweep them. There's a lot of pressure in a game like this, but the Saints held up and did a really, really good job here. You saw a great play from the Saints in terms of their second level as well. A lot of Demario Davis and Kwon Alexander, but you also saw several base packages in this game as well, with Zach Bond and Alex Anzalone getting some snaps. Alex Anzalone with a great run stop at one point. The Saints did a good job continuing to limit the run game of their opponent. They're doing it genuinely, however, which I think is a very important thing to establish. We talked a bit about the Falcons defense and how much of sort of a mirage their run defense was based on the yards per carry that they were allowing so far this season. Coming into this game, the Saints were allowing 3.3 yards per carry, and then in this game they allowed only 3.3 yards per carry, 70 yards, excuse me, on 21 rushes. You had rushes by Ito Smith, by Brian Hill, and by Todd Gurley, and outside of one 15-yard run and one 13-yard run, that was really the total of their production. So that's nearly 30 yards out of the 70 on two runs. So not a bad day for the Saints rushing defense, who forced Atlanta to be one-dimensional and were able to make good on it. Now, let's not confuse the fact that Matt Ryan didn't even pass Taysom Hill in terms of passing yardage until late in the fourth quarter, nearly by the two-minute warning. One of those last two possessions is when he finally was able to do that. And then you look at the fact that the Saints actually allowed only 19 completions on 39 attempts by Matt Ryan. That's less than 50% and an 80.4 pass rating. At least Taysom Hill walked out of this one with a 107 pass rating, above 100 with the two touchdowns. So yes, the Saints defense did give up a touchdown. Yes, they did give up 108 yards to Calvin Ridley. They did give up 94 yards to Julio Jones. But that doesn't matter when you're only allowing one touchdown in a game. The Saints defense did what they needed to do. Now, the penalties still, you know, creeping back in, yes, that's a concern, but I imagine that once you get all of those players back from injury and you're back to being your cohesive unit that's used to communicating with one another, then you'll have a little bit of an easier time with all of that. The Saints did put a ton of pressure down on Matt Ryan as well. I believe it was 18 total pressures, according to Pro Football Focus. They also got three sacks. They did finally cause a fumble with a sack as well. It's arguable. I think some people may consider that one, an incomplete pass, but based upon what we saw called later for Taysom Hill, they called that consistently as far as I'm concerned. So they did exactly what we had hoped that they would do, but unfortunately the Saints offense just wasn't able to capitalize on it. So when we talk about who the most productive defensive line unit was for the New Orleans Saints in this game, should come as really no surprise to you who that group is, because it's essentially their starters. They were the most consistent folks. The only difference is that technically Malcolm Brown got the start, but unfortunately he had to leave the game with injury. So there's one of your injury updates. But Cam Jordan, David Onyemata, Sheldon Rankins, and Trey Hendrickson all played together as a unit for 20 plays out of the total 67 plays that I charted, which includes four plays that are essentially quote unquote no plays because they were penalized. But this was your most productive player combination. This group got two sacks, including Trey Hendrickson's 10 and a half sack on the season. So he's still second in the NFL in sacks right now. They also added some additional hits and pressures. And when this unit was on the field, Matt Ryan completed only 33% of his passes, 5 for 15, 65 total net yards. And then, of course, the two sacks, the Saints allowing only 3.82 passing yards per play when this pass rushing unit was out on the field. And no struggles against the run, allowing only 23 yards, although they did come on a total of 2 carries, but one of those was that 15-yard run by Ito Smith. So this defense just continues to be extremely impressive. They're still number one in the NFL in terms of total defense. They're number two in run defense, number five in pass defense, number four in scoring defense. So they moved up there despite allowing a touchdown for the first time in a few games. Tied for third in sacks and tied for seventh in takeaways. All of those stats by Luke Johnson, who pulled those up and tweeted those out earlier at by Luke Johnson. So the Saints defense continuing to get it done, just continuing to get it done and continuing to show that they are exactly who they said that they could be at the beginning of the season, which is a top five defense. So far, they're proving that. Now they'll look to get Janoris Jenkins back next week. They did lose Patrick Robinson for a little while during this game with a leg injury. I assume the same hamstring that was bothering him and limited him during the practice week. The Saints also lost Malcolm Brown during this game early on, only a handful of snaps during this one, but the Saints defensive line continued to rotate. You could read more about that over at canalstreetchronicles.com. My defensive line breakdown. But outside of that, the biggest injury concern is Drew Brees. Will he be back next week? He says that he's going to try for it. He said he's getting antsy in an interview with Jim Nabors on Monday morning, but we'll see exactly what that ends up being and how quickly the Saints can get Teron Armstead off the COVID-19 list as well. He should be beyond his 10 days in time to return for practice on Wednesday. And of course, that's when we'll get our first injury report. And as you always know, we'll keep you updated on all of that here on Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll be back tomorrow with our Tuesday analytics episode, breaking everything down by the numbers. But until then, I thank you so much as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. It's been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.